I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is February 21st, 2015. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay taken from the website of the Daily Cause, written by Mark Howard, who goes by the name News Corpse. It's entitled, "When Will Fox News Fire Bill O'Reilly for Lying About Combat Duty?" He begins, "Conservatives have tenaciously sunk their fangs into the juicy scandal that is engulfing NBC news anchor Brian Williams. Mark, they are not the only ones. Everyone who trusts the anchors on the nightly news to provide honest reporting is bitterly disappointed in Williams." Mark wrote, "The fact that he has admitted and apologized for..." Mark, why did you bring up Williams' apology? How does his apology affect what he did? Do you think it excuses or lessens his lie? That's a bad sign, Mark. I see a biased whitewash coming on fast. He wrote some false statements he made several years ago. Mark, so now lies are false statements? I thought the current excuse when covering up lies was he misspoke. Okay, so now lies are simply false statements. Got it. Mark, we all know that lies are false statements, but not all false statements are lies. The difference lies in whether or not the speaker knows that their statement is false. If they do, then that statement is a lie. Mark, question. What about when conservatives lie? I'll bet you don't call those false statements. Mark, when you wrote, quote, "false statements he made several years ago," end quote, that was an obvious attempt to minimize his dishonesty, as if lies diminish over time. Your tactic reminds me of Christians trying to dismiss slavery and witch burning by pointing out the fact that those atrocities occurred long ago. But it didn't work, Mark. Time diminishes neither lies nor atrocities. This only provides more evidence that you are looking for excuses to dismiss or minimize Williams' dishonesty. Mark continues, "Regarding Williams' experiences covering the war in Iraq is troubling, and particularly so for people who make their living on their reputation for honesty." Mark, that is where you should have ended this essay. But you didn't. What follows is the same kind of whitewashing we get from Rush Limbaugh when he attempts to defend conservatives who screw up. This essay proves my contention that liberal and conservative ideologues are simply different sides of the same foul-smelling coin. Mark wrote, "However, the degree to which the right has gone overboard with their overt hostility is a spectacle that is worth watching for the sheer entertainment value." Mark, the reason you are only referring to the right is because then you can dismiss them without argument. But those of us who are center or left of center can't be dismissed as easily. Against us, you actually have to present real arguments to defend Williams. Do you have any? Or is your only defense of Williams' dishonesty a distracting attack on conservatives? Let's find out. Mark wrote, "Although it's not as if they wouldn't be showering their hatred on Williams and the rest of the so-called lamestream media, even if there weren't some budding scandal." Thanks, Mark, for proving my point, that you hope to defend Williams' dishonesty by diverting your audience's attention away from Williams and onto conservatives. This is a classic example of the red herring logical fallacy. Please continue so that everyone can learn exactly how that fallacy works. Mark wrote, "For its part, Fox News has been exhibiting a Benghazi-like obsession with their relentless coverage of the story." Good, Mark. Keep pounding conservatives. Keep attention, as much as possible, off of Williams' lie. Also, your use of buzzwords like Benghazi is classic. He wrote, "What's missing from all of this is any sense of perspective or context." Gee, Mark, what a surprise. You played the context card. I feel like I'm in a debate with an anti-evolutionist. When they have no other defense for their position, they often resort to the context card too. He wrote, "Has Fox given equal time to the false assertions by their own Geraldo Rivera, who excused his lies as being the fault of the fog of war?" Of course not. Mark, classic red herring. Point to other bad behavior to draw attention away from your guys' bad behavior. Mark, you actually have the makings of a pretty decent conservative. Mark wrote, "Neither do they make a distinction between the lies advanced by misremembering." Mark, that was amazing. You came up with yet another new euphemism for lying. Misremembering. Mark, if you show this essay to Fox News, I predict that Rupert Murdoch himself will offer you your own show right after Hannity's. Mark said, "A distant event in the past in order to enhance one's own personal image." Mark, the Christian Crusade argument again? Only this time, William's lie has receded from several years ago to a distant event in the past. Mark, at this rate, by the end of this essay, you will have moved William's lie back to around the time of the crucifixion. And don't think we didn't notice that you tried to sneak in another mitigating excuse. The poor man was only doing it to enhance his own personal image. Mark wrote, "And the lies perpetrated deliberately by national leaders like George Bush and Dick Cheney." Mark, great move, doubling down on pointing to other bad behavior. By now, the audience probably can't even remember William's first name. He continues, "That resulted in the violent deaths of thousands of American soldiers and hundreds of thousands of innocent non-combatant Iraqis." Mark, the appeal to emotion, great distraction technique. By the way, Mark, what was William's first name again? He continues, "Nearly every discussion about Williams in conservative media circus includes outright demands for his termination." Mark, you are ignoring all the demands for his termination from non-conservatives. That is how you are misleading your audience. Williams would not have been fired had this been nothing more than a conservative witch hunt, which is what you seem to be trying to convince your audience that it is. It is obvious from this essay that just like the conservatives you berate, you too would have protected this liar simply because you view him as being on your team. That makes you no better than the conservatives you ridicule, Mark. This essay has established you as a liberal Rush Limbaugh. Mark wrote, "Never mind that the false statements made over a decade ago." Mark, question. Over a decade ago sounds far more distant than a few years ago. But is it more distant than a distant event in the past? And how many times do you plan to minimize William's lie by pushing it further and further into antiquity? He wrote, "Were not made during a newscast or presented as part of his duties as a journalist. The Wingnut Brigade once Williams fired for having said some things on David Letterman's late-night comedy program." Mark, you hope to provide Williams another out by diminishing Letterman's show? But Jon Stewart also has a late-night comedy program. Yet I doubt you find Stewart's political commentary irrelevant. How do you figure that lying on Letterman's show excuses what Williams said? Is that a lying aloud zone? And Mark, now lying is having said some things? Mark, where are you getting all these euphemisms for lying? Are you using a thesaurus? He wrote, "Well, if that's the standard they are embracing, then let them apply it to Bill O'Reilly as well." Mark, so now you're going back to pointing to other bad behavior? How many times are you going to throw this tactic at your audience? Is your audience really so uneducated that they can't catch on after all the times you've used it? If they are, then your audience could give Fox's audience a run for their money in the dumbass department. Mark continues. Back in 2006, O'Reilly took an extended book promotion tour to Kuwait, where he visited with soldiers and signed copies of his book. Reports at the time described how service members asked O'Reilly about his own tour of duty in Kuwait during Desert Storm. That might have been an interesting story, except for the fact that O'Reilly never did a tour of duty in Kuwait during Desert Storm, or anywhere else, since he never served in the military at all. Mark, other than as a distraction from the fact that you have no defense for William's lie, what has this got to do with anything? Mark continues. More recently, O'Reilly told his radio listeners about how he would have coaxed information out of an enemy soldier based on his personal experiences in combat. And now he quotes O'Reilly. I tell you what, I've been in combat. I've seen it. I've been close to it. And if my unit is in danger and I got a captured guy and the guy knows where the enemy is and I'm looking him in the eye, the guy better tell me. That's all I'm going to tell you. If it's life or death, he's going first. End quote. Now Mark continues. As noted above, and contrary to his statement, O'Reilly has never been in combat. Consequently, he has never commanded a unit or had to contemplate how he would deal with an enemy prisoner. His pretend bluster and machismo is all just a bunch of fantasizing of himself as a hero. So how is that any different than the offenses for which Williams is being pilloried? Mark, you, of all people, already know the answer to that. You even published a book about the dishonest Fox News propaganda network. So you know that Fox is not an actual news outlet. But the mainstream news organizations, including NBC, are legitimate news sources. They cannot afford to be exposed as biased propaganda machines like Fox News. People count on them for truth and objectivity. That's why Williams had to be fired from NBC, and why the morons over at Fox News get rewarded for their lies. Mark, you know all of this. Your dishonesty rivals that of Williams. I really think you ought to shoot your resume over to Fox, Mark. He continues, there are, however, some very real differences between Williams and O'Reilly. Mark, I sense more excuses are about to be unleashed. Okay, let's hear them. Mark writes, Williams has been found to be less than truthful on this one occasion. Mark, that was your fourth euphemism for lying. We now have false statements, misremembering, having said some things, and less than truthful. You've called it everything except what it is, Mark, a lie. And you are wrong about the one occasion. Williams is also under investigation for false statements, or is it misremembering, during his Katrina reporting as well. But even if exonerated on Katrina and on other reports under investigation, that doesn't address this lie, which you are now trying to erase with your excuse on this one occasion. Mark, didn't you already use the mitigating tactic earlier? Yes, I believe you did. Mark, I can see why you bend so far over backwards for Williams. Neither of you values honesty at all. Someone as obviously biased and dishonest as you really should consider Fox News as a career. All you have to do is convince them that your book about them was just a humorous attempt to give them more attention. Well, they might fall for that. After all, they are Fox News. Mark continues, O'Reilly has lied repeatedly over his career at Fox News with plenty of documentation to prove it. What's more, O'Reilly has demonstrated himself to be an arrogant, rude bully who shoves his usually inane opinion down the throats of his guests and his viewers. That's something that cannot be attributed to Williams. Mark, this tactic of distracting the debate away from Williams and onto O'Reilly over and over and over only works on people with zero training in critical thinking skills. So I guess that tells us everything we need to know about your audience. Or maybe it just tells us what you think about your audience. And Mark concludes by writing, "So if anyone should lose their job over any of this, it would be most advantageous to the television viewing audience and to society in general if it is O'Reilly. But don't count on Fox News to do the right thing. It would be against everything they hold dear." Mark, any Logic 101 student could have torn your defense into little pieces. You used a laundry list of logical fallacies and classic distraction techniques. It is stunning and rather tragic that you have been able to get to where you are in life while simultaneously being devoid of even basic rational thinking skills. Like I said, Mark, Fox News, you would feel right at home. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, Geologists Unlock Mysteries of the Earth's Inner Core. Seismic waves are helping scientists to plumb the world's deepest mystery, the planet's inner core. Thanks to a novel application of earthquake reading technology, researchers have found that the Earth's inner core has an inner core of its own, which has surprising properties. Even though the inner core is smaller than the moon, it has some really interesting features. It may tell us about how our planet formed, its history, and other dynamic processes of the Earth. Researchers use seismic waves from earthquakes to scan below the planet's surface, much like doctors use ultrasound to see inside patients. The team used a technology that gathers data not from the initial shock of an earthquake, but from the waves that resonate in the earthquake's aftermath. The earthquake is like a hammer striking a bell. Much like a listener hears the clear tone that resonates after the bell strike, seismic sensors collect a coherent signal from the earthquake. It turns out that the coherent signal, enhanced by the technology, is clearer than the ring itself. Looking through the core revealed a surprise at the center of the planet, though not of the type envisioned by novelist Jules Verne. The inner core, once thought to be a solid ball of iron, has some complex structural properties. The team found a distinct inner core, about half the diameter of the whole inner core. The iron crystals in the outer layer of the inner core are aligned north-south. However, in the inner core, the iron crystals point roughly east-west. Not only are the iron crystals in the inner core aligned differently, they behave differently from their counterparts in the outer inner core. This means that the inner core could be made of a different type of crystal or a different phase. The fact that we have two regions that are distinctly different may tell us something about how the inner core has been evolving. For example, over the history of the Earth, the inner core might have had a very dramatic change in its deformation regime. It might hold the key to how the planet has evolved. And now for the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, John Fugle sang, "I will give no biography," as he has been previously quoted. Here's the quote from John Fugle sang. Ben Franklin started the first colonial printing press with hemp paper. Not saying he smoked it, as many sober guys fly kites in thunderstorms.
Are you ready, Goose? Start walking.